If you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 41. If you'll remember in the previous chapter, the baker and the cupbearer had dreams that Joseph interpreted, told the one man, within 3 days you're going to get your job back. And when you do, remember me and speak to Pharaoh on my behalf and get me out of here. Told the other gentleman, within 3 days, you're going to be dead. Now, in chapter 41, we pick up the story again. Joseph has said, please get me out of here. Chapter 41, when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position and the other man was hanged." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, but no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dreams, I also saw 7 heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The 7 lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the 7 worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe." The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in 2 forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now, let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming up and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command. And the men shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened up the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe in all the world. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Who could orchestrate this? Who could arrange for this to happen? Who could plan all of this and bring it to pass? Only God. When do you think God decided this was the way things were going to work out? Kind of making it up as he went along? No. Before the beginning of time, God knows all things. God knows how many hairs are on top of your head right now. Before you figure out what you're going to say, God knows what you're going to say. God knows everything. And God is in control of everything. He decides what will happen. He decides what's going to come to pass. Does that mean that people have no responsibility for our actions? No, it doesn't mean that at all. The Bible makes it very clear that we are answerable to God for what we do. Does it mean that God is pleased with everything that people do? No. People do things that are in opposition and rebellion against God. But only to the extent that God has decreed that that will come to pass. The most evil thing in history was Jesus being crucified on the cross. And it was the fulfillment of God's plan. You say, well, Pastor, I have real trouble making all of that fit. Well, welcome to the human race. This is one of the characteristics of having a finite mind, that is, a limited mind. We don't understand how it all works. But there are some things we do know. God's in control, and we're responsible for what we do. You cannot be true to Scripture and abandon either of those things. We're responsible for what we do. God's in control. God's in control. So does God make me do bad stuff? Not at all. Well then, if He's not making me do it, how can He be in control? Because if God wanted to stop your breathing, He could do it like that. If God wanted to give you a brain aneurysm and have you collapse on the floor before you do what you're about to do, that He knows what you're going to do, He could make that happen. This would not be hard for God. God wouldn't say, just a minute, excuse me, I've got to exert some energy over here. No. God spoke the universe into being. He is totally, totally capable of carrying out His plan. But part of His plan has been to give us the capacity to make choices, including choices that are defiant toward Him. But it doesn't change the ultimate outcome. God is working all things together for the good of those who love Him, who are the called according to His purpose. God's, I mean, it's like, well, how can He possibly take that and make something good out of it? I don't know, but watch. Because God takes people's failures, people's imperfections, people's rebellion, and God uses it to accomplish His ends. So, in this story, God's plan is unfolding. And after 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. Now, did Joseph immediately know that Pharaoh had a dream? No. To Joseph, it was just another morning in jail. To Joseph, it was just another day of disappointment. He's suffering. He describes his living conditions as being in a dungeon. Okay? Do you know what a dungeon is? That's like a pit. It's not a lot of light, not a lot of windows, not curtains. You don't need them. Okay? I mean, there's just this horrible, oppressive, total loss of freedom. He used to be the slave in charge of Potiphar's house. Now he's the slave who's in charge of the prison in Potiphar's house. Let me go down 3 flights of stairs underground. I mean, this is not a happy place to be. And to Joseph, it was just another day, but not to God. This was the day that God had appointed. This was the time when it was going to happen. This was the moment when things were going to shift dramatically. Pharaoh had a dream. And in his dream, he sees, try to picture this in your mind, 7 beautiful, fat cows. Well, what are cows supposed to look like? Okay? If a cow is fat, that is a good thing. And so, don't let Chick-fil-A fool you. Okay? I mean, we kind of personify all these animals going back to the Bambi movie, but the fact of the matter is, these cows were beautiful prize winners. They were the kind of cows you always want to take to the fair. Because, I mean, they had put on weight and they were going to be prime beef. They were beautiful, fat, sleek cows. Nothing scruffy about them. 7 of them. And all of a sudden, after he's enjoying them, wow, that's really good. Egypt really produces some fine cattle. All of a sudden, up come 7 gaunt, skinny cows. Skinny is not good if you're a cow. And these skinny cows came up And Pharaoh says, they were so ugly, they were uglier than any I'd ever seen in Egypt. Okay? I'd never seen such ugly cows. They were scary ugly. Okay? It was scary. And then they ate the fat cows. That would be gross. Cows aren't supposed to eat meat. And picture a skinny cow eating a fat cow. I mean, this is a monster movie. And he had to watch the whole thing because when they were finished eating the fat cows, they were still skinny. I mean, it was like, you can't even tell they ate them. And then he wakes up. He says, oh, what a horrible dream. Oh, that was terrible. Oh, boy. Never had a dream like that before. He falls back asleep, and he has the dream about the seven heads of grain. Oh, nice crop. This is a happy dream, I think. And suddenly, here are these little withered up, shriveled heads of grain that eat up the fat heads of grain. And Pharaoh wakes up again. And notice the phrase that's used. It says in verse 7, then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. Okay. Do you ever feel like that when you wake up from a bad dream? It's like, oh, what am I going to do? Okay, it's just a dream. That's what happened to Pharaoh. Twice in one night. Who gave him those dreams? God. God gave Pharaoh those dreams. On purpose. By design. His plan. What does it mean? What does it mean? So he calls for all his counselors, all the wise men, all the magicians, all the people who know about supernatural stuff and psychology and so forth. He calls them all in and he says, let me tell you what happened last night. You could picture them, you know. I mean, Pharaoh. I don't know if he was like most people who are in charge of things. But, you know, you always haven't listened to their stories. You know, it's like my poor staff, you know, it's like, oh, I've heard this story so many times. But here comes all the staff gathered together. Pharaoh tells them about his dream, okay, or his dreams. And he says, what does it mean? What does it mean? I had a lady once say to me, Pastor Wood, I had a dream about this tree out in the middle of a field, and the tree was like, the leaves were like gold, and it was shining, and what does that mean? And I said, invest in timber futures. I don't know what it means, you know, I mean, really. But let me tell you something. God knows what everything means. And stuff to us that may seem meaningless, God understands, even when we don't. All the magicians, all the counselors, all the wise men of Egypt said, I don't have anything. You got anything? Did you get that? I don't know. What are we going to tell them? We don't know. We don't know what it means. Well, Pharaoh's not happy with that. But there's a guy there serving him his beverage. And the cupbearer says, I am reminded of my shortcomings. It's like, I don't really want to remind him of when he threw me in prison because he was mad at me because the other guy he threw in there with me got killed. So I don't really want to bring up this subject. But I think I need to. He says, I'm reminded of my shortcomings. Back a long time ago, you got upset with a couple of us and you threw us in prison. And while we were there, the baker and I, sorry to bring him up, but the baker and I both had dreams, and there was a young man in the prison who was able to interpret them for us. And exactly what he said came true. His name was, it was not an Egyptian name. Young guy. Well, he was in charge of the prison. Joseph, that's it. He was in charge of the prison. Pharaoh says, bring him to me. And so they go to get Joseph. Now, again, up to this point, Joseph has no idea. No idea that today's going to be any different. I mean, he's just doing what he's supposed to do that he does every day. And on this day, all of a sudden, some people come and say, Pharaoh wants to see you. Can you imagine? Pharaoh wants to see you. Wow. Joseph says, I need to change. Okay? And so he shaves, and he changes clothes, and he goes to see Pharaoh. Right away. I mean, fast. And when he goes in to see Pharaoh, Pharaoh says, I hear that you can interpret dreams. What do you say in a moment like that? Yes, I can. You have come to the right place. That's not what he says. He says, no, I can't. But God can. Love this guy. He has learned a lot. When he was young, it was all about him. Now, it's about God. And he showed that he had already learned that when he was dealing with the baker and the cupbearer. When they said, we had these dreams we don't know how to interpret, he said to them, the interpretation belongs to God. God can do this. God can meet that need. God is able to address it. I'm not your man. God's your man. He's the one you go to. He's the one who has the answers. You know why we go over and over and over the scriptures every day? To try and teach you that the answers are not with the grown-ups. The answers are not with the scholars. The answers are in God's Word. We want you to know what God says. Because if you learn that, you will be able to find the answers wherever you go. I know a fellow who started a children's home in another state, and every time a new kid would come to his facility, he would say to that student, I will not beat you. I will not lie to you. And I will always be there for you. I've never said that to a student here. I have told some kids, I will not beat you, I will not lie to you, but I never say I'll always be there for you. And you know why? Because I can't control that. I could die today. But what I want is to introduce you to someone who will never abuse you, never lie to you, and who will always be there for you. He will always be there for you. And if you learn to depend on me, you're going to be disappointed. But if you learn to depend on him, you will never be disappointed. He will always do everything he says, everything he's promised, he will bring to pass. And I want you to depend on him. Joseph says, I cannot do it, but God can. And then look at what he says. Verse 16, I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Pharaoh tells the story of the dreams. Verse 25, then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to me what he's about to do. Is that what he says? No. He says, God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. I don't know what he's about to do. Well, God's shown it to you even though you don't understand it yet. Even though you don't see it, even though it's not clear in your mind, God has shown you what he's going to do. God's talking to you, Pharaoh. He's putting Pharaoh in touch with God. Because the fact of the matter is, whether people understand what God is saying, God is speaking. God is speaking to Pharaoh. And he says, God has revealed it to Pharaoh. Verse 25. Again, verse 28, it is just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Verse 32, the reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. Pharaoh doesn't get a vote. Pharaoh doesn't get a veto. Pharaoh is used to being the grand poobah. He is used to being the ruler. Everybody answers to him. He decides who lives, who dies. He's used to being the big boss. And now he's being confronted with the fact that no matter how big you are in the world, you are tiny before Almighty God. God has decided and he'll do it. That's what he says. He doesn't say, look, God's running this idea by you. He's thinking about sending some 7 good years followed by 7 bad years. What do you think? What do you think? He says, God has told you, king, Pharaoh, ruler, God has told you what he's going to do. And he's decided and he's going to do it. And he's going to do it soon. You know what? I would so much rather be in his family doing his will than to be anything else in the world. I've had the privilege of knowing some rich and famous and powerful people. Politicians, professional athletes, professional entertainers, business tycoons, all kinds of folks with all kinds of positions of power in the things of this world. The ones that haven't died yet are going to die. The athletes who were famous athletes become old and broken down. I remember speaking to a former NFL player as he's coming down the hall, and I said, Monty, how you doing? He said, I need a body transplant. Because his body had just been injured so many times playing in the NFL. Let me tell you something. Don't wish that your daddy was rich. Don't wish that your mama was Oprah. Don't wish that somehow you could be the offspring of this world's top whatever. God has a plan for your life. And if you will learn to depend on Him as your Heavenly Father, you will never lack anything you need. You will always have everything that is necessary for you to do God's will. Don't be jealous or envious of others. Recognize that God has a plan for you, and He offers you a place in His family. When we went to Ukraine to adopt some children that God had told us we were supposed to have, we asked them if they wanted to be our children. Because it mattered to us that they not come kicking and screaming, no, I don't want to leave Ukraine. Fortunately, all three embraced us as their parents. God sent His Son to die on a cross so that you and I could be part of His family. You want to be part of His family? Do you want to be God's child? Do you want to know Him as your true Father, your Heavenly Father? I recently heard a fellow with tears say, God is my real father. Because he had grown up in a home where he seldom had contact with his father, and when he did, even as an adult, it was abusive. What do you do if you're in a situation like that? Well, you better find out who your real father is. He's the creator of the universe, and he loves you more than you can imagine. That's what I want every one of my children, biological and adopted, to know. My job as an earthly father is to point them to their real father so that they will depend on him, because one of these days I'm going to go, that'll be my last breath. Okay? But their heavenly father will always be always be there for them. I want you to know Him. I want you to know Him. Pharaoh, God has revealed this to you in two forms because the matter has been firmly decided by God and God will do it soon. And now, Joseph says, let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Do you think Joseph had anybody in mind? I can't think of anybody like that. So, discerning, key word there, discerning, wise. He has just completely outshone all the supposedly discerning and wise men. Look at verse 8. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Joseph walks in. He says, I can't do it. God can do it. Here's the answer. Now, here's the strategy. Here's what you need to do going forward. And Pharaoh says, oh, where are we going to find anybody who can do better than this young man? He's 30 years old. I remember when I was 30 years old, I knew I was young. I didn't know how young. Now that I'm in my 60s, a 30-year-old is just a kid. Okay? You boys and girls who work as mentors know that, right? No, the fact of the matter is, God had prepared him at age 30 for this task. Where did he go to school? Well, there was some time he spent in a pit out in the desert. And then, let's see. Oh, he was put in a position as a slave and worked his way up to being in charge of the whole household. Oh, well, that's good progress anyway. Where did he go from there? Well, he had kind of a setback. Got in some trouble with the law. Got thrown down into the prison. But he's done real well in prison. Okay. Is that the resume you'd want to present if you're looking for the job as ruler of Egypt? But that was what God chose to do with his life. And it was perfect preparation, because if you're going to work in government, you need to know how to work around crooks. Okay? So working in a prison, good experience for a man who's going to be in government. And Joseph is put in charge. He's given the signet ring. That's like the checkbook with a stamp. Okay? He's in charge. Pharaoh says, look, I still get to keep the throne, but everything else is under your control. And in fact, nobody is to raise their hand or their foot. Nobody's to make a move without your say-so. You're the boss of all Egypt. He's 30 years old. So what did he do? Well, first thing, he went back to Potiphar and he said, listen, bud, you stuck me down in that jail. That's over. You are leaving town, and your wife, I'm going to have her killed. Any hint of retribution against Potiphar and his wife? Not a whiff. Nothing. He knew how to forgive and move on. You better too. You better learn how to leave what happened to you. But it was unfair. But it was wrong. But what they did was leave it behind. Why are you still trapped reliving that over and over and over? Don't do that. That is no good. That will get you nowhere. It is displeasing to God. What if God did that with our sins? That would be bad. Jesus said, here's how you're to pray. And forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, I don't want you to forgive other people the way that... I mean, I don't want you to forgive me the way I forgive other people, because I don't always do a real good job with that. And sometimes I keep bringing things up from the past, and God says, well, you better let that go. Because if you don't forgive other people, you're not forgiven. That's what Jesus said. So we better take it seriously. Now, Joseph is put in charge at age 30. Everything happens just as God said. Before the years of famine, verse 50, two sons were born to Joseph. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." What does that mean? It means Joseph was trying hard to forget. Obviously, if God had made him forget all of his trouble and all of his father's household, he wouldn't have still brought it up, right? I mean, you wouldn't mention it if he forgot it. I hardly ever talk about things I can't remember. Right? But he was seeking to put that behind him. It was a choice. He was deliberately forgetting. And he's saying, God has helped me to put that behind me and not obsess over that and think about that all the time. And then he had another son, Ephraim. And he said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my sojourn, in the land of my suffering." Don't you think for a minute that just because he becomes prime minister, all those years before were easy? They weren't. Day after day after day, he had suffered. Day after day, it was hard. Day after day, he missed his family back home. He missed his dad. He missed his younger brother. He wanted to leave, and he couldn't. And it was years. And it was years when he was young and single and wanting to be married. And he doesn't get the wife until he's 30 years old. There it is. But man, was it worth it? Was it a good plan? You talk about catapulting from prison to prime minister. Unbelievable. But true. The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. Bad times are coming, but you can be prepared. Joseph had listened to God. He had practiced doing so, and he did the strategy that God put in his heart in order to make it possible for the people to have what they needed when times got bad. Folks, I'm not trying to tell you what's about to happen in this country, but I can tell you based on the authority of God's word, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And you and I need to be prepared to depend on God when things are tough. And the only way to get prepared to depend on God is to practice depending on God. Got it? I hope you'll be ready. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your amazing grace. Thank you that your word is true. And it's alive. And it instructs us in the way we should go. Help us, Father, to depend on you and do what you say. And we will give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.